Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this Sunday after Easter is this, A Strange Kind of Joy. John 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said, Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. My dear friends in Christ, I wish I could see your faces as I address you today from the pulpit. But during these days of required isolation, I am enjoying and continue to enjoy our phone conversations and the emails we exchange. And now today's sermon. Needless to say, these days of the worldwide health crisis are strange days. Old, comforting, enjoyable routines have completely vanished from our lives. Things that so many people used to count on to give their life meaning has been stripped away. Conversations and news reports seem to have only one focus, the statistics of illness and death. Yet for a number of people with whom I've been in contact, people who have been brought to their knees in prayer and dependence upon God, a new discovery has been made. This discovery is the reality of God's strength and God's joy in the midst of our weakness. St. Paul once put it this way in 2 Corinthians 12. And God said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul replies, Therefore, I will boast about my weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is telling us that when we're weak, but depending upon God's strength and not our own, we can have a true strength and joy not available from anything else this world has to offer. To this you may reply, well, Pastor, that's a strange kind of joy. And that's precisely the title of today's sermon, A Strange Kind of Joy. Let's talk about this strange kind of joy we can all have based upon what happened to Jesus at the cross and the empty tomb. Today is the Sunday after Easter, but for many weeks to come, the biblical accounts of Jesus' resurrection continue to be the heart and soul of the assigned scripture readings. And in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances each show a similar four-point pattern. Number one, first, there is fear and sorrow due to Jesus' death. Secondly, this is followed by joy over the encounter with the risen Jesus. Next comes a confession of faith by those who witnessed Jesus' appearance. And finally, four, that person is asked by Jesus to be a witness of his resurrection to others. Fear leads to joy, leads to faith, leads to witness. We see this pattern when Mary Magdalene meets the resurrected Jesus, first thinking him to be the gardener. We see this pattern when Jesus meets the unknown disciples on the road to Emmaus. We see this pattern when Jesus appears to the 11 disciples in the upper room. We see this pattern when Jesus comes to the upper room a second time just to appear to Thomas. The disciples were in the upper room. They were afraid. Jesus appeared in their midst through the closed door and proclaimed to them, Peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem. It is only after they see the crucifixion wounds on his hands and his side that the disciples express their joy. Our text says he then showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Reading further in today's gospel lesson, in the same chapter, St. John recounts Jesus' appearance to Thomas. Thomas was not there in the upper room when Jesus first came to the disciples. In his fear and in his sorrow, he had isolated himself from them. But then, when he did rejoin the others, Jesus came again as if he made a special trip just for Thomas. Today, with our fears and isolation due to the health crisis, we can see ourselves in Thomas, the disciple Jesus loved so much. Along with his sorrows and his fears, at this point, Thomas was unbelieving. Jesus appeared to him in that same upper room where he had earlier appeared to the disciples. Jesus gave Thomas the same greeting he gave to all of them. Peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem. And after Jesus showed Thomas his crucifixion wounds, Thomas' sorrows and doubts turned to faith and true joy. Listen to Thomas's confession of faith and joy as he addresses Jesus, verse 28. Thomas said to him, "You are my Lord and you are my God." When the other disciples and then later Thomas saw the crucifixion wounds on the risen Jesus, they had great joy. They had a strange kind of joy. Now, we might expect that seeing the wounds of Jesus' crucifixion on the risen Savior might have filled them with shame as they considered the horror of what had happened to him. We might expect that seeing the crucifixion wounds of Jesus on the risen Savior could have filled them with bitter memories of their own personal denial and abandonment of Jesus when he needed them the most. Why would John record that seeing Jesus' wounds brought the disciples a strange kind of joy? You see, the crucifixion wounds were not the only thing the disciples saw and experienced that day. As they looked at Jesus' crucifixion wounds, they also heard Jesus speak words of reconciliation. Peace be unto you. His presence told them that he was alive, he was not dead, and they had come to them not out of anger. He came to them because he loved them still. Jesus' crucifixion wounds are as clear and wonderful signs of his love for the disciples, for you, and for me today. As it was true for those disciples in the upper room, it is true for us. The crucifixion wounds on our risen Savior bring us today a strange kind of joy. How many of you have ever been to the Holy Land and walked the places Jesus walked? One pastor used to talk about his trip to the Holy Land and what happened to him when he visited the site of Calvary, the place where our Lord was crucified. Overwhelmed by a sense of God's holy presence, the pastor looked up and prayed, "Lord, if you did this for me, you shouldn't have. I'm not worth it." Then the pastor explained, "Deep down in my heart and in my mind, I know that God spoke to me. In response to my 'I'm not worth it,' he said, 'You are worth it to me, Norman.'" The pastor said it was a wonderful experience of God's resurrection love for him. As it was true for the disciples in the upper room, as it was true for Thomas a week later, as it was true for St. Paul in his time of weakness, as it was true for a pastor named Norman, it is true for you and me in these strange days of the worldwide health crisis. The one who knows us better than we know ourselves, the one who knows every doubt and every fear in our lives, comes to us and offers us his peace and a strange kind of joy. Today, your risen Savior says to you, yes, to you, peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem. As the great hymn writer Isaac Watts said in his hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," listen to his words. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to my God. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. As a man of deep faith and a writer of many hymns, Isaac Watts knew that his crucified Lord was also his risen Lord, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil. He knew that Jesus' victory was his victory. He knew that in the midst of his weakness, in the midst of our weakness, the joy of the Lord was his strength. This hymn, then, expresses Isaac Watts' own strange kind of joy. This strange and wonderful kind of joy today is yours as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, as we say every Sunday at this time, we now worship our Lord with his offering. Please continue to worship your Lord with your offering by putting it in the mail, dropping it off at the church office, or by electric transfer through our church website. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. In our times of weakness, his resurrection power gives to us today a strange kind of heavenly joy that nothing can take away. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.